We're going to be in John chapter 14 this morning. When I was a youth minister in Tulsa, I was asked by the pulpit minister to speak at Burke Cabin, which is located in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, to a group of teens on their last night of camp. And the thing about this trip you have to understand is I am horrible at directions. If you ask me right now at this very moment, which way is north, south, east, or west, I won't be able to tell you. And what's even worse is my wife is in the same boat. So let me tell you, that makes for some very interesting trips when we're together. So the day comes, I'm supposed to head to Burnt Cabin. And yes, I've been to Burnt Cabin many, many times, but I had always followed. I had never led. I was always following someone else. But that's okay. I can do this. I have a GPS system. I can get to my destination with that GPS system. So Sarah, Naomi, a few other church friends of mine, we all piled into the church van and we head to Burnt Cabin. Now understand, when you're going to speak at a camp, you want to be there early. You don't want to be there late. You don't want to show up to a speaking arrangement late. So we left in plenty of time. We went and ate dinner, had a great time, and the journey is going great until something happens. The GPS tells me to turn right, and I do as it says. I turn right like we would normally do, and we start driving down this paved road, and after a few miles, it turns to gravel, and after a few more miles, it turns to dirt. And at first, I'm thinking, this doesn't seem right. I don't remember this, but I proceed on. And we drive, and the conditions of the road become worse. We're at this point, we're in a wooded area. Civilization has left it. There's no shoulder on the road. It's just tons of trees and brush. And you would think by this point, I would stop and ask for directions, but I'm a man, and I don't do that. So I continue to go, and reality has finally set in. And the reality that sets in is, can we really trust this thing? Do we understand this thing? At this point in the journey, my best friend named Drew, who's sitting in the seat next to me, Robert, turn me down just a little bit. I think that's part of the problem. Drew's sitting next to me, and he says, is this GPS taking us on the 4x4 route? Is that possible? Is that an option with this thing? So Drew, wondering if we're going in the right direction, he actually pulls out his iPhone to get a second opinion. Because we always want a second opinion, right? He looks at Google Maps, and he can see, no, we can get there. I'm looking at it on the map, and we can get where we need to go by this route. So we continue going forward, even though we probably shouldn't. And as we're moving forward, I notice the time on the GPS still says that I'm going to be there 15 minutes early, which is great. But then comes the problem. Up ahead, I see something. And I think, I should probably stop the van and go check this out. So we stop the van, and I get out, and my friend Drew gets out, and we go to assess the situation. And here's the problem. There was a river flowing in the middle of the road. And on the other side, the road continues. No bridge, just a river. Now, you have to understand, it felt like we had been traveling for 20 minutes down this road to get to this point. And even though this is hard for me to swallow, I realize I have to turn around and go in the other direction. I'm in a church van. There's no way it's going to make it across, even though it would have been cool to try it. But we have to turn around. And as we're driving back the opposite direction, this voice from my GPS system keeps saying, when possible, make a U-turn. And I have to yell at my GPS system, I can't, June. Yes, my GPS system had a name. I can't turn around. There is a river. Get that through your technological head. So long story short, we get to Burnt Cabin. I was 20 minutes late. I'm pretty sure the song leader was not happy as he's glaring at me as I'm coming down the hill to make it to where they are, because he's just making up songs at this point. But it makes me wonder, when it comes to directions, what or who do we trust? And today I want to ask you, do you have a GPS? What I mean by this is your life under the guidance and direction of God? Are you just doing your own thing, wandering around, floating from one item on your to-do list to another, or are you focused? Do you have direction in your life coming from God? Do you feel like you're flapping around, trying to keep your head above the waters of this holiday season that's upon us, or stress, or whatever else you might be going through? Or do you have a clear and confident road to travel by the side of the one who knows you best and still loves you fully? We have to understand that the key to any journey is, of course, the final destination, where it is we want to go. Whether you're talking about worship or living life, this statement is true. The key to the journey is to know the final destination. You can't get to some place you're not going. You know, there's no way to get to California from here without heading west. Oh, you might say you could go east, right? And then travel north. But if you're driving, you eventually have to go west. Yes, I had to look at a map to make sure that was correct. But that's what you have to do. Similarly, I suppose that most of you will be heading home, or maybe you'll be heading to lunch after worship today. But you would never get there unless you knew where home or wherever you choose to eat was. Without a destination in mind, we are condemned to an endless journey of confusion. The simple point of this key is to my journey is knowing the final destination. Because I had the right destination punched into my GPS, I ended up where I wanted to be, needed to be, without serious anxiety. Well, most of the time, not the night that I traveled to Burnt Cabin, but most of the time, we get there. And just though, Jesus, though, knew the key to life's journey was choosing the right destination. The consensus of New Testament scholars agree that John 14 is a culmination of John's Gospels. In this farewell discourse, Jesus is addressing the anxiety of the disciples about the future and what is coming. The key to the future is grounded in Jesus' identity. Jesus isn't addressing their fears with pastoral care, but with theological boldness. He's explaining to them what is going to happen. He has told them about his impending death and what is coming. And naturally, they've expressed their fears with this. In response, he doesn't say, "I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Don't worry. Be happy." Instead, he confirms that he is going away. But then he tells them they will be able to join him. He will return after a certain time of absence. He says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do you get the destination? The Father is the destination. Jesus is the way to the destination, to the Father. Jesus is saying, hey, if you punch the Father into your GPS device, you'll get where I'm going, because I'm going to the Father. Then Jesus makes a bold statement, and it's not the first time he's made this statement, but it's less guarded and more revealing at this time. He says in verse 11, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." He is identifying with the Father. He is declaring a statement that the Christian community would eventually understand. Thomas, Philip, and the others, they didn't fully understand this decree. But the Christian community would come to see Jesus as co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. He was claiming to be the same. He was claiming to be one with the Father. And therefore, to get to the Father, you simply had to stick with Jesus. You know, he would take you there because he was there. The Father is this destination, and Jesus is not the only way. He's also the destination because the Son and the Father are linked. So here's the point. The key to your journey in life, and we all agree that our life and what we're doing right now is a journey. The key to your journey in life is having the right destination. Jesus is telling us the key to this journey is believing in Him and believing that He is the Father. If you believe in one, you'll believe in the other. 80 times in John's Gospels, we actually are told we must believe. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave this one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3, 18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. John 3, 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John 11, 25 through 26, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in Me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in Me will never die. I know it sounds simple, and in some ways, it's simple as punching in your GPS system, and you can get where you want without undue stress. But the key to the journey is having the right destination of where it is we want to go. You know, they say that the journey of a million miles begins with one step, but it assumes that that step is in the right direction, right? If that step is south and the destination is north, then your journey has suddenly become a million miles plus one step. Just because you're on a journey doesn't mean you're heading in the right destination. You know, we're living in a culture that believes anything. It's a postmodern world where all journeys are equal, none better than another. I heard it once said this, when people turn from God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. You know, today we have all sorts of spiritual opinions filling the void. People have become confused and lost in their faith. And so they have found themselves going in circles, around and around and around, being busy, being just active, and they're going nowhere for certain. I want to offer you this. Make God your destination. Believe in Jesus and follow Him to the Father. Punch in Heavenly Father as your final destination and stick to the directions that He is speaking to you. Listen and learn from the Holy Spirit and living Spirit of Christ and following Him to the Father. Don't get sidetracked. Don't listen to other voices. Don't trust your instincts. Your instincts are flawed, just like mine. Your intuition is flawed. Only God can be trusted on this journey. Get the destination right, and you should arrive in the right place. But also, if you're like me, and I love this feature on the GPS system that we have to understand that recalculation is inevitable in any journey. You know, one of the nice features of a GPS is the fact that it recalculates, right? If you miss the turn, whenever you make that wrong turn, June, yes, again, I already told you my GPS's name's June. June speaks to you. Yes, my GPS has this voice. No, I did not give her the name. That's just what it is. But when I make the wrong turn, she has a very pleasant voice. She doesn't say, hey, why did you do that? Or, didn't you hear me? I said turn right, you turned left. Now you're going to be late. No, whenever I make a mistake in my journey, she recalculates. She helps me get back on track. And Jesus is constantly recalculating the disciples. Thomas asks this in John chapter 14. Not that, don't look at that. Thomas asks, Lord, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way? In John chapter 14, verse 5. And Jesus actually redirects Thomas to see that Jesus is the way. He tells Thomas, if you really knew Me, you would know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him, and you have seen Him, in John chapter 14, verse 7. Jesus isn't nagging, He's redirecting. He's revealing this awesome, mysterious, and radical truth that Thomas has seen Jesus. He has seen the Father. He's helping Thomas see that the way and the destination, they're connected. Jesus is the way. The Father is the destination, and yet Jesus and the Father are one. Similarly, Jesus recalculates for Philip. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for me." Jesus responds to Philip, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." You'll see that in John chapter 14, verse 9. Philip wasn't rebuked for a dumb question. He wasn't chastised because he didn't get what it would take centuries to understand and to articulate. His destination toward the Father was recalculated to see that Jesus was the way. Jesus and the Father were one. If you choose the way, meaning you choose Jesus, you're going to reach your destination. But it's inevitable that along our walk, along our way, we are going to mess up. We are going to take a wrong turn. We are going to find ourselves on the wrong path. But God says, "Hey, I'll get you right back on track. I'll help you get the direction that you need to go." And when we mess up, basically, I think we mess up in two different ways. First, we mess up accidentally. We make a wrong turn because we're confused. The road signs, maybe they don't match up with the GPS, and we're confused about where we're going. And second, when we get lost because it's deliberately. We deliberately don't listen to God, and we chart our own course. We listen and we still go another direction because we believe we are better. And we say, "You know what? Despite the warnings, I know this is the direction I want to go and the direction I want to be." These are primarily the ways I think we get lost in life and we get confused. We wander away without really thinking about it, or we move away in rebellion to the revealed truth of God's word and we find ourselves somewhere else. In either case, God is constantly watching over us. He knows not only where you are, but what's on your mind. He knows where you are every day in your life. And he's saying, "I'm going to help you reach that destination." The right destination, necessary recalculation. And when we're following God, I honestly believe that will lead to peace. Notice what Jesus said at the beginning of his farewell discourse in John chapter 14, verse 1. He addressed the anxieties of Peter and all the disciples by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It wasn't a sin that their hearts were troubled. In fact, the term for trouble is used in John's gospel is one Jesus had already used to describe himself three times previously in this gospel. It referred to his feelings in the face of his impending death and the power of evil he was about to face. In John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus confessed, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Jesus recognizes there are times when our hearts will be troubled. He was human, and he experienced this troubled heart. But his recourse was to turn to his heavenly Father and trust. He willed to trust his Father to face the evil, which gave him peace for the journey. Here Jesus tells his disciples not to be troubled. Instead, he says, "Trust in God. Trust also in me." And once again, we see him linking himself to the Father, connecting the divine Father with the divine Son. Trusting in God and trusting in Jesus are the same thing. And that's what he's trying to get them to understand. You've heard it said, haven't you? The journey is the destination. This is more profoundly true than I think we can ever realize. The journey, the way of Jesus, the destination, this life with the Father, Following Jesus is the destination. That's what we have to understand. Being in a relationship with God, having communion with God, walking the holy pathway towards God. But regardless of what language we use, the result of this journey is peace. And I've always been told that peace, which passes all understanding, right? It is peace which comes from trusting the way and the words of the one and only Jesus. In other words, when we have the journey and the destination right, hopefully you and I experience peace. Here's the point, and I know this is a stretch, and I'm asking you just to stretch with me for a moment, because this is hard to kind of think about in what I'm about to tell you. Once we achieve life in the way God desires it, well, we can go home then, right? I'm not talking about our physical home. I'm talking about our spiritual home. What else can possibly happen that would top this? That sense is even more profoundly true. And when you're on this journey with Jesus, heading towards the Father, what else could possibly top that? It is the goal and destination of abundant and eternal life. That's what you and I are on. Our strivings can be laid aside because we are in the will of God and on our way to God Himself. We will get to our destination because the journey is the destination. The way of Jesus is the place where communion with God takes place. And when we're in communion with God, I really feel like there's nowhere else to go. It just doesn't get any better than that. And we can live, we can breathe, we can move, even die in peace, which transcends understanding. That's the point. That's what he wants. It's not my hope. Actually, it is my hope, sorry. It is my hope that you have God's Holy Spirit filling your heart, directing your steps, and guiding you to all things excellent and eternal. Maybe this morning you need a little recalculation in your life. I think we've all been in those times in our life where we need that. Maybe you have been going the wrong direction for some time, and you need help making a U-turn to get back on track. Let us help you with that this morning. Whether that's by offering support or praying for you or encouraging you, we would love to do that. Maybe this morning you just need to punch in your destination, and to be able to do that, the only way you can achieve that is you need to confess the Lord and Savior in the waters of baptism. What a great way to do that, right? To start your week off. My challenge for you this holiday season is to think about those things. As we know, as we get closer to Christmas, it's only going to get more stressful. Our schedules are only going to get a little more busy. But we have to be constant reminder, are we on the right track? Are we on the right path? If we can do anything for you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?